Okay, Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Ches. We are holding on the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are getting out of the Tum and Tara Sugyas and back into Hilchos Shabbos. So we have a bunch of machloksim here between Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel. They're all talking that these cases are going to be situations where you did malacha on Erev Shabbos, and that malacha is going to continue automatically, it's going to be automated, and keep on going into Shabbos. And the question is that mutter? So the Beis Shammah Beis Hillel have machlokas in a bunch of cases. Beis Shammah Omrim, Beis Shammah say, Ein shorin dyo v'samonim v'karshinim. You're not allowed to soak ink, or samonim are, I guess, different types of grains that will turn into dyes, D-Y-E, to make colors. I guess some sort of, not grains, but I guess that's... some sort of plant or whatever, to you're not allowed to soak them. The karshinim is animal food. Unless they have enough time to soak while it's before Shabbos, while it's still Erev Shabbos, while it's still Friday. Beishil matirim. Beishil says it's fine. The malacha that we're talking about here is lush. Lush is kneading. And basically the idea is that these items are soaked in the liquid, and they become kind of like a gelatinous mass. They kind of like bond together a little bit, and that is the malacha of lush, which kneading, and you'll see, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but kneading, it doesn't necessarily involve the actual physical kneading of dough, K-N-E-A-D, yeah? But even if you combine two things that will cause the items to congeal, that may be the issue of lush. The most common example that you can think of is, let's say, making oatmeal, any like instant oatmeal. So making hot water and combining water and oatmeal, again, so it becomes this gelatinous mass or whatever it is, to congeal together, that would be the malacha of lush. So Beis Shammah says, if you start that process on Erev Shabbos, it has to finish before Shabbos hits. And Beis Hillel says, no, you can start it before Shabbos and have it run into Shabbos. Beis Hillel omrim, Beis Hillel say, ein nosnin onin shel pistan l'toch ha-tanur. You're not allowed to put a bundle of flax into the oven to heat, and Rashi writes, therefore it would become white, it would become bleached, and that's the malacha of malabain, of laundering. unless it completes before Shabbos, and obviously Beis Hillel disagrees, which we'll say in a second. But Beis Shammai says you have to finish the malacha itself before Shabbos. V'loset semer layora, you're not allowed to put wool into a vat to dye, D-Y-E. Unless the color will spread to it before Shabbos, that would be the malacha of Tzovea. Ubeisil matirin. Beisil says no. You can start it before Shabbos and you can have it run automated through Shabbos, and that's mother. Beis Shammah Omrim. Beis Shammah says in person mitzudos chayav ofos v'dagim. Ela kadesh yatzudu b'bod yom. You're not allowed to put out traps for animals unless the animals would get trapped on Erev Shabbos. And Tosfos just points out, you're dealing with a trap that will trap either one or two animals, but not more than that. Obviously, you can't spread this huge net and say, oh, I caught a fish Erev Shabbos, and then leave it, right, according to Beis Shammai, right? The trapping itself needs to be done on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos. And Beis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel say, no, you can put out these traps, and you can even trap the animal on Shabbos. Beis Shammai says, Ein mochrin l'nachri, you're not allowed to sell items to a goy. Ein tonin imo, you're not allowed to lift and help him with his load. Vin magbihin alav, and you're not also not allowed to, another way of like kind of lift up, the load onto his donkey. Elikadei sheyagia lamakom karov, unless the goy is traveling to a close place, meaning there's enough time for him to get where he's going, because we don't want this is not necessarily a malacha d'oraisa, but this is a derabanan thing that you're not allowed to obviously tell a goy to do. Malacha for you. And we don't want people to think that the goy is doing malacha for you, straight up. Beisel matir, and Beisel say, no, if you're doing it on Erev Shabbos, people are not going to just see a goy and be like, oh, he's doing it for a Jew. Beis Shammah Omrim, Beis Shammah say, in nosnin oros la'abdon, you're not able to put skins or hides to a tanner, for a goy, I mean a goy who's going to tan your animal skins on Shabbos. Velo kelim lekoves nachri, and not your clothing. Here, kelim means clothing, to a launderer, a goyish launderer. Ela kadesh yasu mibod yom, unless he's going to do it before Shabbos. V'kulan beisel matir, but beisel say that it's mutter, it's totally fine. Again, we're not concerned that it's going to think, you're going to think that the goy is doing it for you. Ima shemesh. Beisel matir ima shemesh. As long as the sun is still up, meaning as long as you've started the activity and you've given it to the goy before Shabbos, it's mutter, even though the goy himself is going to do it. It's going to do it on Shabbos, and there are details to this halacha. But again, Beis Hillel is makil in these scenarios. Amar Shem Gamliel, Shem Gamliel says, "No hagan hayu Beis Abba shayu nosnin klei lovin lakoveis nachri shlosh yamin kodem l'Shabbos." Then the minig, his father's minig, was to give white clothing to a guy 3 days before Shabbos. Just to, they were machmir like the Beis Shammai, right? White clothing apparently back in the day took a lot longer of a process to clean. So they would give him even 3 days before Shabbos so that the goy wouldn't do it on Shabbos, and they were machmer like the Beis Shammai. V'shavin elu ve'elu, and everybody agrees, shetonin koras beis habad ve'gule hagat, that you're allowed to put a beam on top of an olive press and on top of a wine press on grapes that have already been crushed on Erev Shabbos, even though that the oil and the juice will be pressed out on Shabbos, because that's again, the grapes have already been pressed. And what you're doing there, in that case, is that you're just putting like a top on, like a finishing, kind of like, it's almost like you're closing the door, or you're closing the top of the vat. Meaning there, to squeeze an olive or a grape on Shabbos is mefarek, which is a tolda of dash, which is threshing. But lemaisa, it's already crushed, and the juices are coming out already, and therefore that is not usur. Okay. We said before that just mixing ink or dye or you know, these plants that will turn into dye, D-Y-E, just mixing it with water, that's all you have to do, and you will violate the malacha of lush. Who is the mandam, or who is the guy who says, the Tana, who says that just mixing the two is the malacha, as opposed to actually physically going in there and mixing it and kneading it and getting your hands dirty, as opposed to doing that. So Amar Rav Yosef Rebbe, it's Rebbe's shita. Tanya, like we learned in a brisa, echad nosin es hakamach ve'echad nosin es hamayim. Regardless of whoever, if one guy puts in the water and one guy puts in the flour, ha'achron chayev, whoever put in the last thing is going to be chayev for lush, for kneading, K-N-E-A-D, on Shabbos. Divrei Rebbe, that's Rebbe's shita. Without any action, without any physical mixing of the ingredients. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, no, eino chayev ad sheyigabel, no, you're only chayev until you actually knead it with your hands. So you see that it's Rebbe Shita, that just combining the two items will cause you to violate the malacha. Amalei, Abaye said, v'delma ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yossi, ela bekemach. Maybe Rabbi Yossi only holds that kemach, which is davar gibulhu, which is something that you're able to knead it, K-N-E-A-D, you're able to knead flour and water together, you produce something. But avodio, but ink, the labar gibulu, you can't really knead ink. It's not a thing. You put the ink in and you put the water in and it kind of congeals by itself. There's no kneading. I'm not familiar with the process, but apparently there's no kneading involved. So Eimei Lechayev, maybe Rabbi Yossi would say no. By something that's not kneadable, you don't need the action of kneading to be chayev. Gemara says lo sal gadaydach. No, don't think that. Titania, because we learned in another brisa, echa nosen esa efer, vecha nosen esa mayim. If you put in efer is dust, ashes. Sorry. Again, we're going to compare efer with an aleph and ofar with an ayin. Efer with an aleph is dust, and ofar with an ayin is kind of dirt, and not ash but dirt. Right. Efer with an aleph, a ash. Ofer with an ayin is dirt. I guess that's a way to remember. But anyway, if you mix ash and water, ha'achron chayev divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achi yigabel. You see that Rabbi Yossi is mechayev you for putting ash and water together only after you do a maisa. So ash is not something that you can knead, K-N-E-A-D. So you see that even in something that you are not able to knead, Rabbi Yossi is only going to be mechayev you if you actively mix it together. So Gemara says, wait, my afer, what do you mean ash? Maybe afar. Maybe it's really referring to dirt. And that's davar gibulhu, and that is something that can be kneaded. V'tanya afer, v'tanya afar. And we have two brises. One says that ash, and one says dirt. So maybe Rabbi Yossi, it would only be mechayev you in a scenario where you had something that was needable. But if something was not needable, maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree that you're chayev even without the action of needing. This Gemara says no. Midi gabe hadadi tanya. Did we learn those brises against each other? Right? They're not necessarily contradictory. They are both equally true. So it's not necessarily a proof that Rabbi Yossi will hold. How does this work out? What's that? Yeah. So Rashi writes, "Chad Tanya Rabbi Chiya, v'Chad Tanya Rabbi Oshia, v'Chad Minayu Tanya LeOfer b'Lashon Efer." Meaning, one of them we said Ofer, one of them we said Efer. There's not necessarily any indication how Rabbi Yossi holds. Right? It is possible that Rabbi Yossi holds that in something that's not needable, that you don't actually have to need it. So therefore, our Mishnah could still be Rabbi Yossi Shita. It doesn't necessarily have to be Rebbe, because it could be that Rabbi Yossi will hold that if you're mixing two things that are not needable, just the mixing itself will make you chayv. Okay, but either way, nothing has changed in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah holds that if you mix this ink or these samanim, this plant that will cause a dye, etc., that would make you chayev. And again, Beis Shammai holds that you can't let that process run through Shabbos. Beis Hillel holds that as long as you start at Erev Shabbos, it is mutter. Okay, weiter. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Potkin mayim lagina Erev Shabbos imchashecha. You're able to open some sort of like, not potkin, but potkin. You can kind of dig this like kind of ditch so that water will run into your garden on Erev Shabbos before sundown. And the garden can be watered throughout the day. And that is mutter. And you can put incense underneath clothing, Erev Shabbos. And the incense will then scent the clothing the entire day. And that's also mutter, says the Braisa. Again, it's just add like a perfume. That's what Rashi says. And you can put sulfur, that's gafris va'esh, that's one of the things that were rained down upon stone. So gafris is sulfur. You would put it underneath here. Kalim doesn't mean clothes, but it means, Rashi says, silver kalim, that apparently they would put sulfur underneath the silver, let's say, Kiddush cup, and you'd be able to see the designs in the Kiddush cup a little bit better, right? The etching and the carvings or whatever. And that's mutter. With gafrin beholchem kol haShabbos kula, and you're able to kind of let the process run through Shabbos. Umanichin kilur al gabei ha'ayin, you're allowed to put medicine on top of an eye. Ves palnis al gabei hamaka, and also different types of medicine on top of a wound. Erev Shabbos. Umisrapis v'olechas kol yom kulo, and you're allowed to let that run its course throughout Shabbos. Refuah is not a din d'oraisa, but it was a din d'rabbanan that you're not really supposed to do refuah if you can avoid it, because it may come to violate tochen, grinding. Because back in the day, they would grind up spices and such to make medicine. All those cases that the Braisa lists are mutter. We're going to see, the Gemara is going to discuss who is the author of that Braisa. Is that Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai? But you're not allowed to put grain, wheat kernels, into a water-powered mill. Unless you can grind up all of the wheat before Shabbos. Right? Again, you're not allowed to start that process. Gemara says, my time, what's the difference? What's the difference? A mill that's going to grind out wheat. So what's the difference? And all these other things are also like potential malacha d'oraisa situations. Why is that different? Why is that aser as opposed to the other cases? The Gemara says, "Amar Rabba mipnei shemishamat kol," because it's very loud. It's very loud, and people are going to hear it, and they're going to think that it's mutter to run it. They're going to think that you started this process on Shabbos, which is obviously very, very aser. Okay. Right, Rashi says doesn't say that exactly. To be totally honest, he says not a covenant to Shabbos. Where is that? Right, Rashi writes the ika zilusa. It's a kind of a degradation to the covenant of Shabbos. It's not necessarily that people think that you started it. I think the other people say that. I forget where else I saw that, but Rashi here says it's more of a zilzul Shabbos than anything. Okay. Why don't we say, Rav Yosef says, why don't we say that the reason and that it's usher to do this mill type of thing is because this is Shvi'asas Kelim. Now, I didn't explain this earlier, but now that we got to it, the whole reason between for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Mishnah is because Beis Shammai holds of a concept of Shvi'asas Kelim, that a person's kelim, a person's utensils, also have to rest on Shabbos, and Beis Hillel does not hold of that. We're going to see that's actually, it's a discussion in a minute, but basically the reason that you can't let all of these malachas in the Mishnah and all the things that we listed before, at least the water mill, you can't let the kelim run their process, run their course on Shabbos, is because Beis Shammai says your kelim are not allowed to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Beis Hillel says it's mutter. So Rav Yosef says, why don't we say that the mill is usher because of Shvi'asas kelim, that you have to have your kelim rest for you? The Tanya, like we learned in Abaisa, uvechol asher amarti aleichem tishameru, everything I said to you, you should keep. The Rambo Shvi'asas kelim, you have to include that even your utensils need to have Shvi'asa, you need to rest on Shabbos. So we're assuming at this point that that is according to everybody, that everybody holds Shvi'asa, even though I told you it's not true, but we assume at this point in the Gemara that everybody holds that a person's utensils need to rest on Shabbos. So I'm Rav Yosef, Mishum Shvi'asas kelim. Rather, the reason grinding the mill, and grinding the wheat in the mill is also on Shabbos is because of Shvi'asas kelim. Gemara says, wait a second. Vashta damarta beis hillel islay Shvi'asas kelim. Now that you told me, daraisa, now that you told me that beis hillel agrees and holds that Shvi'asas kelim is daraisa, that your kelim cannot do work for you on Shabbos, so what about all the other things that we said in the braisa up here that are mutter? Just earlier, a few lines earlier. Gafrisu mugmar. Right, we talked about sulfur and incense to perfume your clothes and to make your silver kind of like, not shiny, but to make the etchings in your silver come out. My time asharu, why is that mutter? So my answer is, mishum d'klok oven maisa, because you're not actually doing an action. Your kelim are not doing an action. Your kelim are holding the incense and the sulfur, yeah, but the keli itself, the bowl, is not doing the malacha. So therefore it's mutter. Odin shall pishtan my taima, sharu. So now, if you go back to the Mishnah, therefore, why would Beis Hillel allow you to stick a bundle of flax in an oven? Why would that be mutter, right? The oven is whitening, is doing malabin on this flax. The Gemara says, no, mishum dolok oven maisa, because it's not really doing a maisa. What's the oven doing? It's just merely holding the fire in place. But really, the fire is the action that's doing malacha. It's not your kli, it's not your utensil. It's really it's just resting and not doing anything. Oh, but aren't your traps in the Mishnah, right? The case we said it's mutter, Beis Hillel says it's mutter for you to set up these traps on Erev Shabbos. They're doing an action, they're trapping. My time asharu, so why would that be mutter? So the Gemara says, Hasam Nami, over there, no, it's also Belechi the Kukri, the Loka Oven Maisa. It's with a hook. And with a basket, Rashi explains that this basket was wide at one end and narrow at the other. So let's say the fish would swim in, and it would get stuck at the end of the basket. So the basket is not actually doing anything; it's just there in the water. Or the animal would run in and get its neck stuck, and then it couldn't get back out for whatever reason. It kind of like the thing would be narrow. If you can imagine the basket, the end of the basket has like kind of like sharp ends at the end, and so the animal can't pull its head back out. And the hook, obviously, the fish just swallows it or eats it and gets stuck on it. So the traps are not actually doing a maisa at all. Okay. Vashta damar av oshi amar av asi, man tana shvi'asas kelim daraisa beis shammai. But then, hold on a second. But now that we learned later on, and we decided that actually, shvi'asas kelim is only a shita of beis shammai, right? Beis Hillel does not agree that shvi'asas kelim is daraisa. Right? Beis Hillel will say that your kelim can do malacha for you. Midoraisa. That's only Beis Shammai Shita that says your kelim can't do malacha, they have to rest. The lo Beis Hillel, and the Beis Shammai ka'avid maisa bein lo ka'avid maisa, usher, and regardless of whether your kelim are doing a maisa or not doing a maisa, it's usher, regardless. The Beis Hillel does not hold of Shvi'asas kelim. And the Beis Hillel, what do they hold? Afagavd ka'avid maisa shari. Even if your kelim are doing a maisa, it's still mutter if you started it on Erev Shabbos. But we don't actually hold that it's according to everybody. Really, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue. And v'hashda amartel Beis Shammai afagav de lo kavin maisa aser. And now that you told me that, wait a second. The real reason here is because of, as we go back to what we said before, is because of Hashmas Kol. And really, it's machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of whether your kelim have to rest. According to Beis Shammai, who says that your kelim, even if they're not doing a maisa, it's usur. So ihachi, if that's so, on a beis, mugmar gafris my time, asharu Beis Shammai. So on our brisa, if you remember, the sulfur and the incense, so that was not subject to machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The brisa said straight up, it's mutter for you to do, to incense your clothing and to do sulfur on your silver kelim. If Beis Shammai holds that even if your kelim are not doing a maisa, it's still usur, so how can this brisa say that it's mutter? How can Beis Shammai hold it's mutter for you to do this incense and this sulfur situation? So Gemara says, Hasa manacha ara, there it's placed on the ground. Simply, there's no kli, there's no utensil. You put the incense or the sulfur on the ground, it's smoking upwards, and there is no issue of a kelim because the kelim are not involved. There's no keli, there's no utensil here. What about gigis, v'ner, ukdera, ushpud? What about a barrel, a candle, a pot, and a shpud is a spit? My taima shoru beis shamai, why are those things mutter? So we're going to see the next amud, I believe, that those four things, those four items, I'll explain exactly what those four items are in a second, those four items are presented and they're mutter. They're mutter to do those four things, and there's no machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So why does Beis Shammai say that those things are mutter? So the Gemara says, "Dikamafkir lu afkure." Yeah, you're right. Beis Shammai only holds if you're only holds that it's mutter if you make those kelim hefker. That if you do the process before Shabbos, you say these are not my kelim anymore; they're ownerless, and then it happens. The process is automated through Shabbos. Only then does Beis Shammai hold that it's mutter. Because your kelim are usur for you to on Shabbos, but if kelim are ownerless, then it is mutter for them to do malacha because there's no malacha to associate it to a person, right? It's not the kelim are not connected to anybody. So just to explain what those four cases is, gigis is a barrel, and Rashi writes it's a brewery barrel that brewers used to make beer through soaking barley for more than a week, and obviously that would consider that includes Shabbos. And soaking barley, the maisa that's, I forget what malacha that is, I think it's either, it must be lush, probably is lush, or yeah, it must be a malacha of lush, where, again, you're just making some sort of congealed sauce situation over there. Ner is simply, obviously, neros, so you're allowed to light a candle Erev Shabbos, right? Women have a mitzvah to light candles Erev Shabbos, and then ner just burns throughout Shabbos. So the chora fascinating. The Rebbe Shammai would say you had to have to. I assume Rebbe Shammai would say you'd have to mafkir your candelabra every Erev Shabbos. I assume, which is obviously we don't do. The pot is simply all right. Cook food. You're right. We're allowed to leave food cooking on the stove. And a spit. So the spit. People say that the Mishnah says you're allowed to put a spit with a korban pesach into the oven before Shabbos to allow it to roast through Shabbos. Okay, those are the four cases. We'll get to it in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. Okay, now the Gemara says like this: Man Tana Lahad Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana who of the following brisa? Lo Tumale Isha Kedera Asasus or Termisin. A woman is not allowed to fill a pot with asasus and termisin. Rashi writes there a different type of kitnios, different types of beans. Utrichim Bishal Yoser. You need to cook them a lot. Back in the Gemara, and you're not allowed to. A woman's not allowed to fill a pot with these beans. V'taniach l'tocha taner erev Shabbos in chashecha, and leave it in the oven erev Shabbos before it gets dark on before Shabbos. V'minisanan evi. She did so. Then l'motzei Shabbos asurim b'kadesh yasu. Then at the end of the 25 hours of Shabbos, they're asur b'kadesh yasu. The kadesh yasu is that if you do a malacha on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to benefit from it right away on Motzei Shabbos. The din is, by most malachos, that you have to wait the amount of time it took for you to when you violated the malacha on Shabbos. So if it took you an hour to do the malacha on Shabbos, you have to wait an hour until after Motzei Shabbos. In this scenario, you'd have to wait 25 hours because she put it in the oven before Shabbos and cooked through. And then you took it off on Motzei Shabbos, so you'd have to wait until the following night. Sunday night. Okay, so that's usur. Kayotibo, similarly, Lo yimalei nachtom chavis shamayim. A baker can't fill a barrel or a bottle, a barrel of water. V'yaniach latocha tanur erev Shabbos and chashecha, and put it in the oven erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, so that it will warm up, so that he'll have hot water on Motzi Shabbos available for whatever he needs in the baking process. In Masakenin, if he did so, similarly, Motzi Shabbos asurim k'dishe yasu, he also has to wait, all the water is asur v'k'dishe yasu, i.e. the whole 25-hour period. Leima Beis Shammai hivelo Beis Hillel, let's say that this brisa is according to Beis Shammai. Right, again, Beis Shammai says they hold of Shvisas Kalim, that your Kalim cannot work for you on Shabbos, and Beis Hillel doesn't. Skamar says, no, afilu tenu Beis Hillel, you can even say that Beis Hillel holds like this brisa, because gzera shami echata b'gecholim. This is a gzera that we find much more by cooking. We're going to find in Perikira a lot. But it's we're concerned that maybe you'll come to stoke the coals on Shabbos. Therefore, Beis Hillel agrees that you're not allowed to leave these things cooking through Shabbos, because maybe you'll stoke the coals, and that will be a malacha midaraisa of havara, of burning a fire and making a fire burn more brightly. So if that's true, if we're concerned about shamichata of stirring or stoking these coals, so mugmor v'gafris nami ligzor, let's make that gzera by the case of incense and sulfur. Right, we said before in Amud Aleph that incense and sulfur is mutter. Maybe we should be afraid that you'll stoke the coals to make the incense and sulfur burn faster or better. Skamar says, no, hasam lo machatelu lahu. Then we're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals. Because if you do, salik l'bahu kutra, you're going to have a lot of smoke. The kashi lay, and it's not good for the clothing or the silver items. V'unin shel pishtan nami ligzor, but what about the flax? Right, we said in the Mishnah that the b'kon beis hillel, it's mutter to stick the flax in the oven to make it bleached. So maybe we're concerned there that you'll stoke the coals. The Gemara says, Hasam came in the kashi luzika. No, since if you open the oven and a draft of wind comes in, that's going to mess up the flax. So lo magalulu. So people are not going to open the oven to stoke the coals because you'll let in some air and that will damage the flax. So Gemara says, Ay, tsemer lo yore ligzor. So why don't we also go there? If you put wool into dye in a vat, so that's also with heat and with fire. So Amar Shmuel Biyora Akura. No, the case is where the vat is off of fire. Right? You can't put it when the vat is on the fire. Vinecha Shema Magislu Magisba. Maybe we're concerned the person's going to stir the vat. Right? That's also Asur. Magis. You're not allowed to, for example, you're not allowed to open the cholent pot and just stir it up because stirring adds to the cooking process, causes it to cook faster. So we're concerned that maybe you'll stir the vat, and that will cause it to cook more quickly or die, D-Y-E, more quickly. Skumar says, Bakura Batoka. No, the case is where the vat is sealed. It's off the fire and it's also closed up. So no concern that you're actually going to stir. Excuse me. Now that we said now that we mentioned this whole shami yichata business, maybe you'll come to stoke the coals. Hay kedere chaisa, if you have a pot of raw food, of raw meat, v'share la'anucha erev Shabbos simcha sheicha b'tanura, it's mutter for you to put it la'anucha, to put it on the oven or on the stove erev Shabbos before dark, because we're not going to. Well, the Gemara says my time. Why? Came to lochazi laorta. Since it's not fit for you to eat right away, you're not going to eat it. Laorta means at night. You're not going to eat it that night. You're not going to eat the food Friday night. Right? Shabbos in 5 minutes. You put a raw meat on the pot, on the oven, on the stove. So you're not going to eat it when you come home from shul. So we're not concerned. We're not concerned that you're going to stoke the coals. Meaning, when are we concerned you're going to stoke the coals and make the thing cook faster? When there's a chance that it'll be ready and you'll be able to use it sooner. But if it's not going to be, if you put the cholent pot up 5 minutes before Shabbos, and this is takamutter, people do this, and there's no chance you're going to be able to eat it later that night because it has to cook. I don't know, how long is the cholent pot to cook? 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. So there's no concern of shamei echata that you may come to stoke the coals, because what does stoking the coals do for you? It doesn't do anything. It's not going to be ready anyway. So if you put it, therefore it's mutter to put up raw meat or raw food or whatever right before Shabbos. Ubashil, and if the food is cooked, so shoper dami, then it's also mutter, because you're not going to come to stoke the coals, because it's already cooked. Right? You don't need to, what are you going to, Rashi said, what are you going to stoke the coals? The food is already done. So then it's totally mutter, we're not concerned that you're going to come to stoke the coals. Bishul, velo bishul, But if it's not yet cooked, if it's cooked but not, right, meaning halfway cooked food, so that's usr. Right, that's usr. That's an issue because then you may come to stoke the coals, make it cook faster, make it ready earlier. Right, you're going to eat that soon. That's usr. If you shugali gar machaya, but if you did leave some sort of raw meat in that pot, even if the rest of it is partially cooked, and then shabar dami, then it's fine because again, it's not going to help the raw meat. And you have raw meat in your dish, right? You're not going to come to stoke the coals. It's not going to get ready in time. Vashta damar mar. Now that we said kol midi dekasha lezeka, right? We said before that any by the flax, right? If you open the oven and the wind blows in, the flax will get damaged. Now that you're telling me that any situation where we're concerned about the wind blowing in. And it'll damage the items inside. Lo megalile, and people won't come to open the oven and stoke the coals. So then, hi bisra de gadya. If you have meat of a chag gadya, Pesach's coming up soon. Yeah, what's gadya? Gadya is a young goat. So if you have meat of a young goat, which is very tender, yeah, and if wind blows into the oven, it'll damage the meat. Okay, if that's the case, visharik, and the meat and the oven is sealed. We had that word before. It is closed, so there's no way for you to get in and really stoke the coals without opening the seal. So then shabar dami, then it's totally mutter for you to allow that meat to cook. excuse me, in the oven on Shabbos. Debarcha, if it's meat of a ram, that's I assume is much tougher. Velo sharik, and the oven is open. Right, then it is certainly usur for you to let the meat cook in there because the meat is not going to be affected by any wind and it's also easy for you to get at the coals. What about the middle case though? Right, when you have one and not the other, it's gadya, it's meat of a kid, and therefore the wind will damage it. But veloshorik, and the oven is open; it's not sealed. It's not open, but it's closed. It's not sealed. It's easy for you to get at the coals. The barcha, or a case, let's say it's meat that's tough and the wind won't damage it, but visharik, and it is sealed. So that's those are the two middle cases. So what do you say about that? So Ravashi shari, Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti asir. So it's machlokes between Ravashi and Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti. So Gemara says, Ravashi the shari, according to Ravashi, says it's mutter. One second, about time we learned in the Mishnah, ain't solin batzal ubeitza. You're not allowed to roast meat or onions or eggs. Ela kadesh yitzolu mivod yom, unless they finish roasting erev Shabbos. Right? We see that the Mishnah does not differentiate between different types of meat. It just says meat, period. So how do you know? Maybe right, why corner of Ashi? Why would this meat be any different? Why would it be usur? So Rashi's Gemara answers: Hasam debarcha v'lo sharik. No, that case is simply a case where it's a ram, and the oven is not sealed, and that's exactly Ravashi's case. That would that's not Ravashi's case. Ravashi said that barcha usharik is mutter, but that's the case we said before that if it's ram's meat, i.e., it won't be damaged by the wind, and lo sharik, and it's not sealed, so you have two reasons why it would be usur for you, right? It's easy for you to get at the coals, and the meat won't be affected if you open up the oven, so therefore it's for sure going to be usur, and that's what that Bryce is talking about. Igadamre, another way of understanding that conversation, another way of understanding the machlokes between Ravashi and Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti, that degadya, if it's meat of a baby goat, or a young goat, so regardless of bein sharik, bein shlo sharik, regardless of whether the oven is sealed, shabar dami, it's mutter, because that's going to be enough of a deterrent, right? If you open the oven to stoke the coals, the wind's going to blow in and ruin the meat. That's enough of a deterrent, and people are not going to do that, and therefore it's mutter. But the barcha nami usharik, and even if the meat is a ram's meat, and the oven is sealed, shabar dami, it's also mutter. Because the oven is sealed, it's going to be a whole annoying type of thing for you to get out, get to the coals. So keep pligi, what's the machlokas? The barka velo sharich. The only machlokas is where the meat is tough and it's not sealed, and the oven is open. And the oven is meaning that you have two things that actually would go against it. I mean, and you would think that it would be usur because the meat is tough and it won't be affected by the wind and it's not sealed. And there, that's the machlokas, right? We said before that everybody agrees for sure is usur. According to this understanding, that's where the machlokas is. When you have two tzdodim lahachmir, that the meat was unaffected by the wind, and it's easy to get at the coals. It's not, the oven is not sealed. Ravashi Shari, Ravashi, even in that scenario, Ravashi says it's mutter, and Rav Yerim Difti says it's usur. And then the Gemara asks, Kuzula Ravashi the Shari, according to Ravashi, says it's mutter, even in both, in that case, right, where it's, there are two tzedakah in the hachmir, that there really is nothing preventing you from stoking these coals. That's not, and we learned in a Mishnah, ain't sol and basar, but sol beitza. You're not allowed to roast meat, eggs, meat, onion, or eggs, el kadesh yitzil of mibodiyom, unless you finish it before Erev Shabbos. So how does he get out of that brisa? So Ravashi says, hasam debisra agumre. There, we're talking about, it's not in an oven. It's meat that's roasting over an open fire. So in that scenario, even Ravashi will agree that it's usur because the coals are open. You don't have to go into the oven to stoke the coals. Coals are sitting there right in front of you. So then we're concerned that, yeah, you can't just leave meat roasting out in the open on Shabbos because you may come to stoke the coals. Okay, just a little bit more. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hai kara chaya, if you have this raw type of gourd, kara is like a gourd or a squash or whatever, shomper dummy, you can let it roast in an oven on Shabbos, came into kashi lezeka, because it's just like a meat of a young goat. Oi, Huda, you okay? Is he okay? Alright, we're almost done here. Kibisur, the gadya dummy, it's just like baby goat meat, and therefore, since the wind will damage it, Huda's crying. We're finished anyway, but even though the meat will damage it, even though the wind will damage it, and therefore we're not concerned that you can open the oven and stoke the coals. Okay, we'll go weiter tomorrow.